Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I am Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 20th of July. You got one more week, the month's over.
Yeah, that is the truth. I'm never going to challenge you on these date stamps. It's just not worth it.
Date stamp.
It's just not worth it.
You're wrong.
So we have so much going on, some interesting stuff. Did you watch the excitement over the richest man on Earth now becoming the richest man in space?
You know, it was like a couple of things. And I'll probably discuss this in more detail or not on the No Agenda show coming up on Thursday. What was Bezos wearing the cowboy hat for?
That was a little weird. That was strange.
Did he have a cut on his head, on the bald head of his, and it was bleeding all over?
Something very odd about that, because I thought his brother was actually the hat wearer.
Well, he's wearing this hat the whole time, it seems to me. Especially at the press conference where they bring out the people that went up on the plane. The kid
I got it. He's a space cowboy.
Well, I was thinking that was an element. That was a possibility. Or remember that movie, I think it was Failsafe, where the guy jumps on the A-bomb and it's Chill Wills and he's wearing a cowboy hat and slapping the bomb as he goes into the... Remember that? You ever seen that movie?
It rings a bell.
The people, I thought, I don't know why, how did they pick this Dutch kid? Well, why is it a Dutch kid? We're American.
No. There's a story behind that.
Okay. I don't want to hear it.
Okay. Moving along.
As long as there's a story behind it, I'm good.
There's definitely a story behind it and it makes total sense.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm fine then.
What about, you want to complain about the old lady?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
The old lady, who's obviously from Berkeley.
Yep.
She just was just insufferable. I mean, now this is just the beginning. I'm going to do more stuff now.
Yeah. Like, right. This is one giant step for stockings. Well, let me tell you what else is going on here. I mean, we all obviously saw
Tell me the quick rundown on the story about the Dutch kid.
So the winning, that was for bid. That particular seat was for auction. It was done in an auction. It was $28 million, won by some guy. And for whatever reason, I don't even know how it makes sense. But this is the story that the $28 million that he paid, he somehow had a conflict in his schedule and couldn't go. So I'm not sure what trumps flying to space or not. So he put his winning bid aside. And the runner-up, who was a hedge fund manager, very well-known hedge fund manager out of the Netherlands, won it, and he let his son go.
Oh. I thought it was a gimmick because they said it was the youngest in space ever. So I thought they did it on purpose.
I don't think so. I think it just worked out that way. But what's interesting is that you got to wonder what was so important.
The other guy just couldn't. What was so important was somehow keeping his lunch down, maybe.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very odd. But I think in my opinion, the thing that was the funniest of all of it was you have a bald guy who is, you know, the richest guy. And you remember Dr. Evil, right, from Austin Powers?
Yep.
Bald guy. What did he have? He had a rocket that was shaped of a wanker with balls. Remember that?
Yeah, this one didn't have the balls.
This one looked like a full-headed...
It looked like a dildo.
It was a total dildo / unit.
Yeah.
There was no question that looked like a giant Schwanz. Am I right? Yeah. I mean, there's no question about this, right?
No, it was obviously done on purpose.
Right. It's not like somebody was in the room and said, you know, it reminds me of something. I just can't put my finger on it, you know?
They could have made it more streamlined. It did not have to look like that.
I know. But it was a cool flight. It looked interesting. 10.5 minutes or so. I was a little nervous about it. I think that markets were a little nervous. You have a large stock.
It would have been a good, I would have put it. If I thought about it, I probably would have put a big put on Amazon just in case.
Just in case,
right? And then sold it immediately and bought a call.
Yeah. So let's talk about what's going on with markets because it's been a very interesting week. Just this one week since the last time that we met, things are getting even more crazy than usual. There is a big concern about COVID and this Delta variant, and the headlines are saying that the markets are really worried. Investors are spooked, and that's causing all of this craziness that's going on right now. It was a really tough week for risk assets last week. Oil starting to turn lower, back down at like $66. You said too high. Well, there you go. Down from 74 or so, down to 66.
Yeah, it was too high. It's too high at 66.
Bond yields hit the skids. A fishing tournament update. Oh, you want a fishing tournament update, or you want to wait for one more point? I'll give you a fishing tournament update.
Make another point. Didn't give us a tournament.
There's a new term in the wild. You know, they bring up these terms, that all these things to kind of make things sound
to keep
better.
People baffled.
Yep. Wobble.
Wobble.
Wobble. Markets wobbled. Interest rates wobbled. Inflation wobbled. I think what's the connotation there? What do you think? What is
drunk? It's drunken. Drunken. It's a connotation of drunkenness or Biden.
Biden wobbles.
When he walks, he wobbles.
Yeah, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Maybe that's the point. Yeah. Markets wobble. They can do that. They kind of just shimmy. They jitter, but it's not going to get thrown off course. That's kind of what's going on here.
I guess.
Not to worry. Well, I was in a fishing tournament this weekend. Took out my team, Team Triggerfish. And we went for a meat tournament. It was a competition for weight, for heaviest fish, for lady angler that has the biggest fish and kids and all that. And it was four different species. It was dolphin or mahi-mahi. It was wahoo. It was tuna. And it was kingfish.
Mm.
So we went out, and it was kind of a rough morning because, not rough in the sea, well, a little choppy out there, but there was just all this weed out there, and trying to drag some baits, it was a mess. So we went out about 15 miles. Long story short, came back into something called the stink hole. I kid you not what I'm about to tell you. There's a couple places up and down the Florida coast where a couple miles out in the ocean, there's this rip. It looks like a round, you know, it's constant. It looks like a boat went around and around in a circle and made kind of a disruption in the ocean, right? But it's there constantly. And what it is the sewer.
A little whirlpool?
Yeah, sewer output.
It's a sewer output?
Not kidding.
How many miles out?
About two.
Huh.
Maybe three. Two. There's a couple of them. And you see around there, there's all these fish around there because they're eating the poop. I guess.
Poop, yeah.
I guess. Poop, so we kind of saw that fish coming up, and we're fishing. I got some live baits down there, and all of a sudden the rods start going off. Long story short, update. Came in fourth out of 21 boats for total weight. Had the second largest fish, a 19-pound kingfish, beaten by a 24-pound tuna. And my daughter, who was on my boat, won the female angler largest fish award, number one first place with a 9-pound kingfish.
Oh, good for her.
So that was kind of fun.
You get a trophy or they stuff the fish?
She got a $350 gift certificate combination basket to Eddie V's Steakhouse.
No trophy?
She actually could be. We have some trophies that are coming. She could be on the trophy.
Huh, that'd be good.
So lots of fun this weekend. Then I took it all, carved it all up. The dolphin that we caught, I gave to the crew, to the people at the club. They kind of, gave it to the people that worked there. And the kingfish, I then smoked the next day and made a giant vat. When I say vat, I'm not kidding, a vat of smoked fish dip.
Smoked fish dip?
Yeah. You ever have that?
Where do you store that to keep it from going bad?
Oh, it's gone. It's all gone already.
How many people are at your place?
There's a lot of people that want this stuff. I have a pretty good recipe that I've developed over the years. Smoke it for 4 hours. Then I have about 15 ingredients, seriously, that go in there, fresh ingredients and all sorts of spices.
So you have a proprietary
fish
dip.
Yes.
That is so popular that people come from miles around to get some.
Somebody
of it.
Drove 15 miles to get his share today.
Wow. I'm impressed.
The other stuff, you could freeze the stuff. I should actually freeze some up next round and dry ice it to you.
You should. I would love to try it.
Yeah, it's good. All right, markets update. Dow Jones Industrial Average. Financials, energy, taking a beating. We saw that one-day flush yesterday. Crude is at 65. Very kind of, I think, a lot of weak hands in the market, too much leverage in the market, too many people are like all in. So anything goes bad, things get kind of crazy. The Bitcoin and the crypto coins slumping. Bitcoin under 30,000. Yep. Because, you know, it's got to get to its fundamental valuation, which is Bupkis.
5 cents.
Yeah, Bupkis coin.
What's the book value?
Yeah, no, I don't. Not really. I know that a lot of people are really behind this with their laser eyes and their excitement and all this stuff, but you know, some of this stuff is just when the going gets, you know, done, you know, the coiners get going too. And when you have such an extensive amount of coins owned by the whales that are not giving up, there's just a very small float out there. There's all the reasons too, but you know, from there's a couple of great stories I have coming up. One of them that I pulled was from, I think it was Indonesia, but you got to listen to this, what they did to the rigs, all the mining rigs. They got very creative what they did. We'll talk about that in a second. Tuesday update from overbought to oversold to overbought in 3 sessions. We saw this massive overbought, or pretty overbought for 4 or 5 days. And then oversold yesterday, and then today ramped right back up. 700 points down.
I'm looking at this. Does this look like a classic bottom or a classic top?
I mean, I think there's some topping action going on here. Depends on what you look. Small caps were down 10% before they bounced. S&P 500 was down as their 50 days moving average. NASDAQ is a critical support. Bounced really nicely today for no reason at all. I don't even know the reason why it bounced today. Yesterday, everybody was panicked about this COVID virus spreading. And today, they're like, oh, no big deal. I don't even understand. There's no reason for some of this going on. However, I will share with you that this is not the first time we've seen something like this. About 2 weeks ago on a Friday or a Thursday, maybe it was a Thursday. Thursday, there was a scare about something and the bond yield hit 1.25%. People were freaking out, selling out everything, running into these bonds, and it was a safety trade. And the next day, everything was kind of reversed exactly to the same level that it was the previous day before. Same thing happened here. So there's a lot of dip buyers. As soon as it happens, it's Pavlovian response to what's going on. As soon as it drops, we're going to buy it. So that's why it's very difficult to be hedging out in this market, because when you hedge out, oftentimes you use a broad market index rather than an individual security to hedge out your market risk, right? And yeah. So what are you going to put it on? You're going to get the exact perfect day to put it on, and then all of a sudden it turns the next day? I mean, you'll never make money doing that. You got to be really careful right now to use much more creative ways to hedge out portfolios, whether it's like using a buffer of cash, which is boring, but it works, it's better, or you do something different and very selective in your portfolios, because it's kind of, you know, it's stupid. But 10-year, the big issue was, once again, the same catalyst where we saw that bond yields were plunging. They hit 1.12% today, this morning, on the 10-year.
Before, it's ridiculous.
Before it bounced to 1.2. And there is, I don't recall, that maybe it's sometime in the 60s or 70s, which was a time of stagflation, let's all remember, where we saw that interest rates did move and there was inflation. So something like that is going on right now. And I don't think it's just that people don't believe there's not going to be inflation. There's no reason to push bonds down this far, even if we see a handful, a helping, a smidge of inflation. Because we know that when we have inflation at 3% and the 10 years at 1.2, we're still at a negative yield. It doesn't make any sense. So,
no. Well, unless everything's, maybe this is our version of the negative interest rate.
I can't imagine we're going to get there. They've talked about not doing that, but maybe I still think this is just a grand experiment because they're able to do so in the face and with the cover of COVID. I think COVID is giving a lot of cover to all sorts of things, whether it's holding back your earnings estimates and your outlook, or whether it's the Fed in this circumstance saying, you know what, this is a unique situation. They're doing a grand experiment in the face of this, and nobody can argue.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents. All right,
it's quite baffling.
Yeah. You, though, a little venting in one of your essays this week titled, maybe appropriately, Space Jerks.
Yes.
A new essay from John C. Dvorak. Can you tell us about it?
Dvorak.substack.com. Please sign up. It's come up in the conversation. I think a good example was this particular episode here with Bezos going up into space. That is not it, that the rich are got so much money, the fact that they, for all practical purposes, step over the homeless in front of the Twitter headquarters, for example, in San Francisco, step over the homeless and go, ugh, and then drop $200,000+, or they will be, because there's a line of 100 deep at least, waiting to go on one of these jaunts. And to me, it just looks like a complete throwing away of money. And I think a good example is the high bid for that fourth seat on Blue Origin of $25 million and up. It's just not a good look for the rich, especially in lieu of the fact that you have people like Senator Warren threatening to tax the billionaire class, which is what we're dealing with here mostly. But we haven't been gouging them, which is can happen at the drop of a hat, because the public is kind of likes the rich because they think everyone believes they can be rich to some extent. Getting to a billion is not as easy as it looks. I can tell you. And the public,
you're still trying.
Yeah, of course. using get rich quick schemes. The public can turn on the rich if they keep doing this let them eat cake thing. And I found it was that, so the title was appropriately called Space Jerks. It's a good essay. It's structured nicely. I got some original art from Mike Riley. It's a pretty piece.
What is the point?
Well, the big point in there is that what happens? Well, there's two things that can happen. One of these things blows up. That's the end of this whole idea, which can happen. But the other one is how do you not get in one of these voyages someone who gets queasy during the waitlist period and starts throwing up all over the place in waitlist mode, where the puke just goes everywhere around the ship? I mean, this is bound to happen.
You've talked about this before. This is a thing.
That old lady is could have been the one.
But I at the same time, some of these people, for example, in the area of Richard, let's talk about the three. Let's talk about the three space jerks that you're talking about, right? You got Richard Branson.
Yep.
You got Elon Musk. And you got Bezos. Those three.
Those are the three.
Those three people are responsible for massive breakthroughs in a variety of different industries, for the hiring of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, and revelations that are economically beneficial for millions. They can't just take a little ride and joyride up to space? Seriously.
What has Branson done?
Virgin Records, Virgin Airlines, a couple of those things bankrupt.
Virgin Records, okay.
Virgin.
A lot of Virgin
stuff. Bought an island. He's a cool guy.
An island. Yeah.
Made our lives more enjoyable.
Well, that is the argument that I say that is in play, and that's why these guys are somewhat protected from the government gouging them and saying, well, you're worth $50 billion. I think we could just take half of that. It's not going to kill you.
The problem is also that the rich also have ways of hiring people to save them a lot of taxes, whereas some others, don't. When you're going to file a 1040 easy kind of situation, or you're just going to be able to take a standard deduction and not utilize a variety of other tax vehicles that are very beneficial, like what we saw was done with the Roth IRA and, with Peter Thiel and others that utilize these kinds of methods.
Yeah, I think that's tricky stuff.
It pisses off people that are paying, taxes as they should. However, I find the whole thing to be...
No, I'm not going to argue any of what you have to say. You're right on all counts. It's just that it's a touch. It just seems to be at this point a little touchy, because we're not in a situation where people were locked down and had to do all these sacrifices, and there's homeless everywhere in some of these areas where you have the super rich. I would say California is a good example. And Florida, not so much. And I don't think there's homeless there, are there? I don't know.
There's homeless everywhere. There's homeless everywhere.
Okay, there's homeless all over the place. And these guys are just throwing, you know, I'm going to take a... And it's not even a big deal. And then they have the gall to call it space tourism. Where's the tourism part of this? You go up and
it's
come
a freaking
back
ride. Down? It's best roller coaster amusement park ride available ride. Today.
It's all it is. It's a ride. And it's not tourism.
Right. Tourism would be... you know what? Let's go take a few days in Mars, and then we're going to go over
to
Venus
the moon
for a, few,
for a
yeah.
month.
And we'll stop at the restaurant and, yeah, the dark side of the moon. Really cool place. Pink Floyd's playing tonight. You know? I mean, that's kind of, it's much different. I agree with you that there's a difference, though, between the space cowboys or space jerks that went up and the other people who have the money to pay for it and just a joyride. But yet, I've always had the same problem. Now, let me tell you my problem. I know people. I'm making this up for a second. I'm not saying anybody specifically, so nobody get bent out of shape, okay? I know people. I've heard that there are people. They buy beautiful homes in various places, and they do all sorts of things, and they do some travel. They do not put any money towards charity. And in my religion, it's called tzedakah. There's also something called tikkun olam, which is repairing the world. You give back. I give back. People should give back. If you're fortunate enough to do so, and you know what? There's something to be said. You know, you want to give to the homeless? Fine. You know, you want to... I go to charity events. I give money. I do it through various auctions. I get something out of it. They get something out of it. I give money directly. We support a lot of charities out there to help people. It's those kind of things that are really good. It's the others that are all about themselves but don't give back. That's the problem. Don't you agree?
Well, you have this other little angle to that. Yes, I do agree. But there's this angle of, oh, they give no one, they don't like to tell people what they're doing.
The anonymous thing.
Yeah. But I believe that's bull crap.
It's total
bull
crap.
The reason I believe that, because you're making a big fuss about getting in this plane. So you do want the publicity because you're not anonymous going up on the rocket. But somehow now you're anonymous when you give to the poor. I don't think so.
No. No. I mean, the people that I know, I'm telling you, I know they don't give. They just say it. They tell you outright, no, not really. You know, it's an event here and there. $500 I give you. $500? You give $500, you make X amount of dollars, you live in a $3 million apartment, you get $500 a year? That's the extent?
Yeah.
You can do a little better than that. The Olympics are lots of things happening. We all of a sudden have a continuous flow of reporting that we are seeing a rise in the unfortunate COVID infection rate with Olympians. Well, they're going to do something about it. They're going to do cardboard beds. Now, I'm sure you've heard in the past all the stories about the incredible amounts of sex that are going on inside of Olympic Village, right?
Well, you got a lot of muscled up athletes on both sides of pretty girls and good looking guys are all in their prime of life. It would be shocking to me if they weren't having a lot of sex.
I mean, do you think the weightlifters are like, oh man, when do the volleyball girls come? I can't take it. I got to see those volleyball girls. I mean, what is it? You know, it's like, oh man, I wish I was in the Winter Olympics. I got to change sport. Those curling chicks are hot. I mean, it's a thing, right? And for years they talked about they would give out condoms inside of the Olympics. Now, in an effort to discourage casual sex during the Olympic Games. And I wonder, do you think Olympians are having sex before their event takes place?
You know, that's a funny question you can ask because there's a number of sex theoreticians that believe that you should abstain from sex before an event.
Yeah.
And there was always that about football and baseball games. And then it was Joe Namath.
Oh, love that guy.
When he won the Super Bowl, who made a big deal about the fact that he had sex before the game.
Good old Joe.
Yeah.
Good old Joe. Now selling insurance to old people on TV.
But... Oh, him and all these other guys. No.
Tom Selleck.
You don't even recognize these guys. Have you seen him with Jimmy Dynamite Walker?
Dynamite. I saw him just the other day and it was horrifying.
It's horrifying. And it's actually Joe Namath is pretty horrifying. I don't know. They got all these old, I guess it's, I don't know what they're hoping to accomplish, but these sales pitches are just, They're only on daytime, a lot of daytime. It's always these alternative cables, not cable, but.
Tom Selleck was fine. And even I'll give a pass to Joe Namath.
I'm not giving a pass to Tom Selleck and his reverse mortgage.
No. But JJ, that was something. That was bad. That was bad.
It was really bad.
So now there's a decision by the Olympic officials who are seeking to deal with this COVID-19 outbreaks within the Olympic Village is to have these cardboard beds to discourage intimacy among the athletes. The 18,000 beds are comprised.
How are they supposed to be in high performance sleeping on a cardboard bed?
I don't even understand. I think it's a total bogus story. 18,000 beds. I mean, what do they have? This a giant tent? Are comprised of frames designed from recycled cardboard and mattresses that are made from three blocks of polyethylene fibers. Each mattress is designed by a Japanese company, Airweave, can be further customized with additional layers for comfort, but somehow this temporary bed they have is going to discourage casual sex. I don't know about you. I think if these guys are jacked up and pumped up enough, they'll do it on the ground.
Yeah, they do standing, by the way. You know, that is a possibility.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Netflix earnings came out tonight, disappointed on subscriber additions and outlook. Numbers, otherwise, you know, generally okay. Stock was down about 4 or 5% on the print, then started rising. Why? Why would you say? What's going on? Well, of course, people are buying a dip, but they talked about a big announcement, something new. They're getting into gaming. Online gaming will be part of the Netflix subscription. No extra cost.
Who the what?
Mm-hmm. I kid you not. So I guess this is all about, you know, this is a carrot they're dangling that, wow, we could do some kind of, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, you go to your Netflix account and maybe you have some online games that are on there, you know, the various games that are out there, and they're trying to create some kind of a network. And...
Yeah, these guys are
reaching.
Yeah, they're whistling in the dark.
Yeah. Chipotle came out with earnings.
Before you go into that, it reminds me of the new Microsoft 360 cloud Windows.
Oh, where you have a virtualization of the Windows experience?
Well, the way they do it with Word, I have to assume it's the same way they're going to do it with this, but it's like, yeah, something like that.
You know, you could go to Amazon and you can create, I think it's $35 a month, you can create an entire instance of Windows and install whatever you want and run it like a computer. You just have to log into it and it runs just perfectly. And actually, if you're doing any kind of testing of something that you may break something, you can utilize that. Pretty easy process to spin up very quickly and get rid of it. When you're done with it, it'll just disappear. So that's something. So if this is going to be a full Windows base. I mean, already Word is Windows and Outlook is in Windows. Everything's in 365. The question is, it's not in Windows, excuse me. All the Office is already cloud-based. The question that you said, though, didn't you say it's going to be Windows?
Yeah, Windows with the operating system is now going to be virtualized in the cloud.
So
your machine be something like a Chromebook.
Right. It's going to be just a browser opening.
Or who knows? I don't know how they're going to do it, but it seemed they want to turn Windows into a subscriber operation so they can, for one thing, it would keep your machine from getting screwed up by an update. Because they'd be updating every 5 minutes. It's all over the cloud.
Right. And they could just automatically just send those out. I mean, somebody said about that, but you got to wonder what you'd have to pay for that. And it would be interesting then, therefore.
I think it'd be the same price as Word. It'd be $99, something like that.
But then you don't have to be in any particular place in order to, or on any particular device, right? You could do it from an iPad or a Surface or a laptop or.
Maybe.
Just log in. Which was kind of interesting because then companies can deploy a lot easier. And on the other hand, though, then what happens to that computer when you're doing work at home? Where that computer is kind of a shared device, right? Part of its business, part of its personal. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like it.
No good. Chipotle came out with earnings. Company's still keeping high margins in the face of menu increases or the benefiting from menu increases, which has dampened the blowback from higher costs of food. And for employment costs because they raised their minimum wage. So dining rooms are still not back to the pre-pandemic levels, but mobile is staying strong. The company did mention that they do have a concern about long-term issues with rising costs, particularly rising costs of food. Well, stock was up 4% after hours. Have you been there yet?
To what?
A Chipotle.
No, I've told you this shows and shows ago. I'm not going there.
You're not going.
I have not. Well, I'm not going.
Yeah, no, that's, I would tend to agree. I eat it every once in a while.
We have taco trucks. We have burrito places. Right. We have Gordo's. We have Cactus Tacos and Burrito. And we have real Mexican restaurants run by Mexicans that have fresh hot sauce that they make every day. We're in California. The fact that anybody goes to a Chipotle, if you live in California, to get Mexican food, it's beyond
Shonda.
Me.
Shonda. That's terrible. I mean, the food is okay. It's a big bowl of slop, no matter how you deal with it. Whether it's in a burrito, whether it's in a bowl, it's the same. Just giant slop fest. All those beans.
Well, if it's done right, and it seems as though it's not that easy to do, because you can go to Washington State and go to a Mexican restaurant. They can't cook Mexican food for crap, as opposed to around here or in Southern California or Arizona or Texas. It's delicious.
Huh.
As sloppy as it may look or feel, or in fact, it's not that sloppy looking when it's really done right.
Everything's wilted by the time you get it.
Compelling. You start eating it. I mean, these burritos are, you know, you have to be careful. You don't eat a whole one.
Yeah. That would distend your stomach to a point that would be, because it keeps on getting bigger as it goes.
You have to literally force yourself to stop. They're so tasty. But Chipotle, as you say, it's tasteless. And that's not what Mexican food is about. It's not tasteless in the least.
I agree. Let's talk about Florida for a second. There's some interesting things happening down in Florida. Florida saw a significant jump in the number of new COVID cases in the past couple of weeks as the more contagious Delta variant continues to spread. I think one of the things you talked about on No Agenda, something that we talked about some time ago, was this is potentially, not to kind of get a little weird about this, you know, it's possible this is a media pitch in order to push vaccinations. Right?
That's the basic theory.
Right. And you guys talk about Pfizer a lot. I really think you need to switch gears. Let me share why.
Okay.
If we look at Pfizer and the whole idea of, we look at that and BioNTech as their partner in this, and the whole idea, which you are surmising, is they're doing it for money. That's all it's about, right? Pfizer's doing it for money.
What they do. What their company does.
Stock's not doing so well. I mean, stock has done okay. I don't know. But look at Moderna. Now that is a beautiful chart.
Yeah, Moderna is a different story. But why is Pfizer not doing so well? I mean, their marketing is fabulous. It's out of control, but fabulous. I would just wonder if there's something else going on behind the scenes that some investors know about that is not good news for Pfizer.
I mean, it seems like if they're going to have a booster and they got an edge in this whole area, it should have done a lot better than it's doing. When you look at Moderna up 40% in the last couple of weeks on this new situation growing, you have to just wonder. And if the data that seems to be coming out constantly, the news, well, it's very effective against the COVID-19 variant of Delta, blah, you know, the whole pitch that we hear. And with the idea of a booster shot too, I don't know. It seems kind of crazy. But they're talking about this Delta variant, a 1,200, and I don't know how they got this number, 1,260 times higher.
They make viral stuff load. Up.
1,260
times.
There's
no documentation for these numbers.
Yeah. Florida International University's infectious disease specialist, Dr. Aileen Marty. There was an 11% increase in the Delta variant from July 9th to the 17th. Statewide last week, more than 45 people tested positive. And Florida reported 20% of the nation's new coronavirus cases over the last 2 weeks, even though it makes up only 6.5% of the population. And there's a whole new name going around for those who hate Governor Ron DeSantis. So we could take his name, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
The new name for those that hate him is Governor Rona DeSantis.
Rona DeSantis?
Rona death sentence.
Oh, Rona death sentence. Yeah. That's good.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah, it's not bad.
So I don't know.
They got to go after this guy is going to be the nominee in 2024.
That's what they're doing.
They have to start on him now.
So they are. Maybe some of this Florida stuff is hooey.
I think a lot of the Florida stuff outside of what they're, you know, what's really going on is bull crap to just embarrass DeSantis or make him backtrack or I don't know what they're, I don't know if it's going to work. It's too far out. You can't start doing this stuff this early on.
What gets me really concerned right now, and I don't want to talk about this COVID much longer, but what gets me concerned now is everybody's sort of giving into the fact that, yeah, you got the vaccine and, you know, you still can get it. Still can get this thing. I'm like, yeah. And it's almost like, excuse me, that was not on the instructions and the label before we got the shot. So crazy there. But due to the COVID outbreak, due to the stay-at-home orders, the pandemic fear and craze and worry, one of the biggest winners has been kind of, hey, let's just hang out in our backyard and barbecue. Barbecue craze. We see Weber, Traeger, and barbecue guys all working on IPOs.
Oh, please.
Yep. You got to keep a watch for these. Very strong earnings in the post-pandemic world. 50% increase overall for some of these. Barbecue guys going for like a $900 million valuation. Barbecue guys, what do? They're good, actually, but they do reviews of barbecues. Hey, this one's hot. This one's not. This one has electric. This one is coal. This one is smoker pellets. Yeah. This one we like better because it has 800 square inches of space, and this one is 720.
Yeah, this one we like a lot better because they're giving us money under the table.
Correct. And then all the links. Yeah. If you want to look at more about this and where to buy it, click this link. And what is the link? The link is some kind of link with an embedded code to Amazon or other sellers.
Of course.
Yep. Biden administration stepping it up. Biden administration on Monday blamed China for a hack of Microsoft Exchange email servers that compromised thousands and thousands of computers.
Huh, it wasn't Russia this time.
Guess not. Now they're blaming Beijing.
Yeah, this is going to be the focus. They're going to move it from Russia because I think we're in good stead with Russia. After Kerry was there for 3 days, it wasn't covered very much by the media, but it seemed as though he was there for some reason. And ever since then, it's been like the focus has changed from Russia to China.
Kerry's the Secretary of State now, huh?
Well, he thinks he is, but no, he went over there as the climate czar.
Oh. You know, now that I think about it, not that I will, I just need to, for a moment, just. Who is in charge of this government? Because.
Kerry's part of it.
We haven't heard it from anybody, have we? I mean, I don't remember really hearing a lot of stuff out of anybody but Buttigieg. And is the vice president, she's still working as the vice president?
As far as I know, yeah.
Very strange. Very strange. And what is the first lady's four-year program?
The first lady?
You know how there's always something like literacy or...
Jill Biden's four-year program is to keep
keep him alive. She is... well, you know what? She's working for hospice. That's what she's doing.
She's been doing well.
On that, the last thing on politics here, a possible presidential candidate in the making, U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, also known as AOC, became one of America's most prominent progressive Democrats with her calls to tax the wealthy and spent heavily to fight climate change. Now she's investing heavily in her online store, selling T-shirts and sweatshirts and other merchandise with AOC initials or slogans, including tax the rich or fight for our future. How do you like that?
Yeah, well, no surprise there.
What I talked about earlier, the Indonesian government decided, Malaysian government decided that they're going to go out, they're going to stop this whole cryptocurrency thing. They don't like the electricity usage. They don't like that this possibly could usurp their own currency. They don't like the whole thing. So they got their hands on and confiscated 1,069 Bitcoin mining rigs. They laid them in a parking lot of police headquarters and used a steamroller to crush them. They crushed all of them. There's a video on this.
The steamroller. That's the way to do it. High tech.
Yeah, they're not screwing around here. The assistant commissioner of police, Hakamai Hawari, told CNBC the crackdown came after miners allegedly stole $2 million worth of electricity siphoned from the Sarawak energy power lines. So they stole this, and they said, you know what? Your punishment is we are going to execute your machines.
Yeah, that's what they did, but I really wonder whether or not if you have a solid backup of your hard disk, you can, it's like a bookmark. You could put it on another computer and continue where you left off. So you may not have lost anything in terms of the hard work that went into the, wherever you are.
Yeah, but the cost of these machines, you know how much they're expensive. The rigs are expensive.
I would assume they're not cheap, but if you're, you know, halfway to a Bitcoin,
it takes a lot more right now. With
$29,000. Well, it takes a while.
They were probably making a lot of money because they didn't pay for the electricity.
Yeah.
At $180,000 a month for a year.
Yeah. Well, get a solar panel.
Yep. Robinhood back in the news, seeking a market valuation as much as $35 billion in its upcoming initial public offering, according to the SEC filings.
This is the beginning of the end, the way I see it.
The stock trading company will seek to sell a range of $38 to $42 per share and looking to sell 55 million shares in a range as getting as much as $2.3 billion. The estimate of the company, it has about 22.5 million funded accounts, up from 18 million in the first quarter of 2021. So just to be clear about something, we know one of the big attractors, aside from the ease of use of the Robinhood platform and app, is that it's free trading. I would like to say that again. Free trading. And then I want to throw back at you that they're trying to raise a valuation of $35 billion, which only comes from the fact that they're making lots and lots of money, right?
If they're making money and it's free trading, how are they making money?
Yeah. So just as a point of reference, not so free. Not so free. Fact is that payment for order flow is actually, this is a little note from Interactive Brokers that they sent me. And they kind of, it's a commercial that's going on right now on television. You can see this. It's an explanation of what is payment for order flow. And what they said is the money the market maker pays to your broker to trade with your orders at a price he decides. Your broker will charge you no commissions and will leave you no choice. And that's why at various companies that they chose to do this because it's better. They under the guise that it's better execution, better deal for you as the end client. I don't necessarily see it totally that way, but something to consider. From the closet of wow, that is really smart, but God awful if it really happens. Johnson & Johnson is exploring a plan to offload liabilities from widespread baby powder litigation, you know, the talcum powder issues, into a newly created business that would then seek bankruptcy protection.
Oh, wow.
How do you like that?
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson's kind of sleazy.
Could you imagine if that's allowed somehow? They do this after the fact. It's not like before the fact. They do this after the fact. There are laws in the world of bankruptcy that and in the world of Social Security, government, taxes, where if you do a transaction in with knowledge of like a lawsuit that's happening, and you make the transaction happen into something that would be protected, it could be pierced. There's no protection there. So I think what they're doing here is the attorneys for Johnson & Johnson are going out and saying, hey, this is, just to let you know, all of you who are looking to collect from this, just to let you know that's what they're doing. So why don't you take a much more reduced payment now and let's just forget about
it.
Before it's too late.
Yeah, it's a scheme.
If that is allowed, do you realize that this is going to allow companies to do all sorts of funny stuff. And then later on,
they're not already. Okay.
But allow them to carve it out and then bankrupt the company. That means that there that would be
one. Yeah, but it hasn't been. This has not been accomplished. It's just a threat.
Right. Yep. Walt Disney. Bluff. Walt Disney is moving a lot of operations from California in favor of Florida. Going to move 2,000 jobs from its California headquarters to their new campus in Florida.
Yeah, that's income tax. Mm-hmm. State income tax is the reason.
Let's see what else we got here.
They've always had quasi headquartered in Florida. The Imagineering team, I think, is down. There's a bunch of Disney area, and of course, they have so much land in the middle of nowhere in Orlando that it would be a smart move.
Yeah, well, save a lot of money. I have a quick quiz for you. Name the top three companies by percent share of the smartphone market in order of their share.
Number one, mm-hmm. Huawei. Mm-hmm. Number two, Samsung. Mm-hmm. Number three is an unknown, but I'm sure there's a number three that I don't, that's Chinese. And then I would think Apple somewhere down four or five.
The number one is Samsung with 19%.
Okay.
Number two now today is Xiaomi.
Yes. I've heard of these guys. That's Yep.
When I was in China, there were these Xiaomi stores and I looked at the phone. I'm like, gosh, that looks like an iPhone. Interesting. And pretty much they cloned a lot of the look, the feel. And it was cheap and cheap and cheap as you could imagine.
Very cheap. Cheap.
And they have other products too. They have like a GoPro
$50 clone. $50 phones that look like an iPhone.
Right.
And because I have a couple of these phones, iPhone clones. I never use them, but I have them. They're very entertaining with people. There is a place usually nearby one of these stores that will stamp the iPhone logo into the phone.
Really?
Yeah, it's not the same place, but you have to just go a couple blocks away. Hmm. It kind of reminds me of the pachinko scam in Tokyo, where you go to the pachinko parlor and you win stupid prizes that are worthless, but you can take the coupons for those prizes and go to across the street, same thing, and give them the coupons that give you cash.
Oh. I've seen that.
It's a roundabout gambling scam.
They do that the same thing in I've seen these little pop-up places around Florida where they have slot machines, but the slot machines only give you out like prizes or coupons.
Same thing. It's a Japanese idea.
But the order right now, it was different. It just happened that Xiaomi took over Apple at 17%. So it was Samsung at 19%, Samsung at 19%, Xiaomi at 17%. Wait. Samsung at 19%, Xiaomi at 17%. And Apple at 14%.
Really? I thought Huawei was in the mix.
I don't know why. They do not. Wait, Huawei phone percent world.
Market share, yeah.
Let's see. Huawei share of the global smartphone has dropped significantly in the third quarter to a default 8%.
Wow.
That's because we kind of threw them under the bus, didn't we?
I guess so. And it had a profound effect.
Yeah, seems that way.
They have a nice phone, I have to say.
Right. Well, especially because it can hear other people's conversations.
Yeah, well, that makes it even better.
I like that one. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen cautioned Thursday that prices could continue to rise for several more months. And she expects it could be like eye-popping. It could be a very much more, a few more months of rapid inflation, but she thinks over the medium term that we'll see inflation decline back towards normal levels.
Yeah, that's what Jerome Powell pretty much said the same thing.
But I don't know if we talked about this, but if you see inflation at 0.5 and 0.9 and 0.6 month over month for a few months, right? Let's say that adds up to 4%, just as a number. The inflation rate is going to moderate back to normal is what they're saying. They're not telling you that prices are going back to where they were because that would be deflationary.
Oh, that's funny.
Right?
Yeah, that's a 10 points to you for that one. Yes, you're right. In other words, whatever it cranks up to, you're stuck with it.
Stuck. Yeah. So this whole idea of them talking about a growth rate in percentage terms versus absolute math, absolute dollar value, is a canard.
Yeah, I you're absolutely correct. So in other words, if your price of beef doubled, let's say, over some for whatever reason, it was just that stick there.
Right. It's so good news. Prices aren't going up anymore. They're going to stay right where they are. Good news for the future. We don't have any further inflation. Okay. So this whole thing that they're trying to nobody's picked up on this. Seriously.
I never thought about it until you just brought it up. I think you're the first.
So stupid. Just absolutely stupid. How and how the markets are like, okay, that's good news. If we go back towards 2% in the future, now we're doing 2% on the higher levels. Because if we, again, to go back to the original.
It's like bracket creep for the IRS.
Exactly what it is. Stupid.
Huh.
I have a unemployment alternative data chart right there in the show notes. You can go over to dhunplugged.com. Show notes for episode number, 565. And you can check that out right now. This is the alternative and official unemployment rates, the U3, the U6, and shadow stats. See that?
I get shadow stats in there.
Yep. And right now we're somewhere, according to shadow stats, under the traditional more, the before they changed the numbers, we're still at a 25% unemployment rate.
Where's this link? And I don't see it.
It's halfway down.
Oh, there it is. Alternative data. Usually put a big blue box.
Sorry. Crazy chart.
I apologize. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's still up there. I mean, the Shadowstat thing spiked. I mean, they all did, kind of, but Shadowstat spiked way up there, and then it came down to still too high.
25% unemployment rate right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. That's what they've got.
The good news of all of this, though, of whether or not we have unemployment and the Fed thinks it's transitory, is that the Fed is going to keep their pedal to the metal. The inflation rate, the good news, there is one piece of good news about all of this, is that the Social Security cost of living adjustment for 2022 could be 6.1%, according to a new estimate.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's right. Some of us in the room know we're excited about this.
I'm really jacked up.
This would be the biggest increase since 1983, according to so check this out. This next thing really annoys me. According to a nonpartisan advocacy groups, is it important to put nonpartisan because otherwise people freak out?
That's an interesting point. You just say advocacy group.
Just according to our report.
Everyone just assumes they're partisan.
Yeah, because that's going to be bad for somebody. The calculation here. And last month, there was an estimate of 5.3%. So this is going to be a pretty big number. One, I mean, really, for a long time, you saw inflation at what? You know, this COLA, cost of living adjustment, was 1%, 0.5%, no percent. So, all right, what do we got? A couple more things here. Media liars, we got that. So social media companies are... Oh, you had a discussion on No Agenda this week with Adam where neither of you got anywhere, but the discussion was about how Biden said that social media companies are killing people. Yeah. And you went round and round and round.
Yeah, Adam had some crackpot. I don't know what he was thinking, but...
It was clear that it could have been a mistake that he didn't put the words social media companies are killing people in front of all of it, versus he was saying that the unvaccinated people are killing people. I'm on your side on this one. I didn't really understand what was going on with that. But there's a whole thing now that, you know, social media is the cause of misinformation that's going on, and they're fighting back and forth, and Facebook's pissed that they said it was their fault and they're killing people.
No, Facebook had a good argument, too. They showed that they have all kinds of data that has gone out to the public with the government lying. They've been kowtowing to the government and going along with the program better than anybody. And they were irked by the fact that they were called out.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yep. A couple of things here. It's important to understand that we recently had a recession. Everybody knows about that. It was this whole horrible downward spike as we just basically shut down business, right? Well, traditionally, a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. That's like the textbook that you learn, Eco 101.
Yeah, that is the one.
That's well, it seems that that's not actually the case.
They changed
it. Yeah, of course. The National Bureau of Economic Research maintains a chronology of the peaks and troughs of all U.S. business cycles. And the committee comes out with when there is a recession, when there's a trough. They come out when there's a recession and then when you come out of your recession. And it seems that the previous peak in economic activity occurred in February 2020. The economy slooped down through the end of February and March and turned back in April. And officially, the recession lasted 2 months, which makes it the shortest U.S. recession on record.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they call a two-month deal on this. That makes no sense to me.
Somebody cooked the books.
It looks that way because they usually come out a little bit further. Well, it's February. It's already a year later that they finally called it. That would be like a prize fight. The guy waiting 30 minutes to see, is he down? Is he down? Was he down back then? Stupid.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. A couple of things. Hey, listen, if you enjoy the show, if you are getting anything out of it, a little bit of fun, a little bit of discussion about some of the economic environment, learn a few things out there. Well, we ask you to come on over, join in the fun with your wallet, with your PayPal account, with your credit card. You can go over to dhunplugged.com, click on the yellow button that says donate, and give till it makes you feel good, because it is one of those things that is, it's uplifting.
It's a good show.
It's a great show. Great show. So we do things like games and we give away shirts and we have things like server costs and, you know, there's prep costs and there's people behind the scenes and all of that. So, you can go over there and, click on that and it's very much appreciated. I think I announced this. Did we announce this last week? I don't know if we announced this. The, close to the pin for advanced micro devices, AMD.
Yeah, AMD.
So that's running right now. 3 or 4 more days to get your official guess in. So there you go with that. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. So we have quite a list here, quite a very intense list of very bright green, kind of need to have some kind of sunglasses on to view this, because what we do is we code these, the higher the performance, the lighter the green gets, the brighter it gets. So that Trane Technologies, I guess, just keeps on moving.
It's almost up 120%, the clear winner for the last 12 months. The last week we did poorly.
Yeah. U.S. Global Jets got kicked, by the way. The alternative harvest marijuana stocks got kicked, which is really interesting. Where is GameStop up 13%? You're almost going to get kicked on there. You're up like 22%. There, go get 8. The AP Moller Maersk, which is the short for the shippers, is up 6%. That was really relatively new. But last week, yeah, DD Global down 6%, Shopify.
I mean, that's a duel. That's both of us.
Yeah.
Which never happens.
Yeah, it's not over yet. Not over yet. Workhorse down 7%. Very, you know, the problem is, as we always know and we've always seen, when you have markets that are starting to whipsaw.
Yeah. This list gets shrunk real fast.
Real fast. So, full disclosure, I have no picks this week. Just not doing it. I'm trying to get this list down a little bit. But what do you have?
I know what that's got to do with full disclosure.
No, there's no disclosure there. Information.
I have one that this is insiders. It's doing insiders. And the reason that this is dual insiders, you can put, there's two groups that are buying the stock. And there's, I think they're related in some way because it's like the same amount, but it's IMRA. I didn't want to do this, but I don't have, I think.
What's the symbol?
And then biotech for a while is a biotech.
E-M-R-A?
I-M-R-A.
Oh. IMRA. IMRA. Down 2.5% today. Trading at, let's see, where's trading out here? What is this? Nope, this is trading at $5.65. Dual insiders. JCD pick. Dual insiders. Got that.
Let's see how that does. I mean, it came way down from, well, not a ton, but it came down from $6, $7, $8. It's a penny stock.
7/21/21 is tomorrow, 5:50. What is episode? What episode is this? 565.
7/21/21. It's lucky.
565 episode. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good. All right. And we're right on the hour mark. Look at that. Right on the hour mark.
There we go. We nailed it.
Nailed it. All right. I will see you again next week. Send me your wines.
Yes, I will. Right. Okay.
Thanks.
Adios.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.